All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Joe Watson here with the Nasty Knuckles guys.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
Sup, Brigarelia? Coming off a big game for yourself this past weekend?
Yeah.
Alumni action?
Yeah, still recovering.
You were flying.
Felt pretty good.
You were buzzing, yeah. Even in old skates.
Yeah, I know.
Could you imagine if you had your new ones that you let someone just take from you?
No, I just let them take them,
yeah. You just leave the car
fresh,
open.
Fresh wheels,
fresh take wheels, them. Boys. Anybody sees those things on eBay or something? Let us know. But, man, what a cool weekend. Seeing a lot of friendly faces, guys. It's almost like you pick right back up from where you left off, you know. But it was really cool to see Mike Richards back in a Flyers jersey.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun seeing Richie.
Sharpie, you know. Sharpness. Little Sharpness could still play, I think.
Yep.
He's buzzing around like you out there.
Well, a little more skill, but yeah, he's buzzing.
I mean, you know, maybe a little.
He was in flow state.
Yes, he was. But it was really cool. So great seeing Lates too.
Yes.
Lates and Bush. All the guys. It was great. Our guest today, Joe Watson.
Oh yeah.
Flying around.
Big night for kind him. Kind of. Yeah. Well, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a lot of energy, you know, around the weekend and having Rex there and a lot of guys we talk about, like, haven't seen. I can't remember the last time I saw Richie.
It's been a minute.
Been a while, yeah. Sharpie, a couple other older guys there too. So it was a lot of fun.
That was cool
to get back to the center there. And I don't know what the exact final attendance was, but someone said close to 15,000.
Yeah, it looked like it.
It was pretty good energy in there.
It was really cool. Even seeing some of the Bruins guys, I was shocked. Al Secord kept himself in pretty damn good shape, man. But it was cool seeing everybody out there, even when you guys did the morning skates and those little warm-ups. Except for the poor goalies. They got to get all dialed in and dressed. But it was awesome, man. It was so much fun. Seeing the new setup.
Yeah.
Really seeing. That was the first time I've been through the whole thing. I'd seen bits and pieces. They did a great job, man.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Got lost back in there.
Yeah. It's a top-notch setup. It's awesome. It was awesome to see. And Rax, like, what a player, man. Yeah. So deserving. That guy was one of my favorites to watch, man. God, he did it a long time, too.
Yeah. Still doing it.
Still doing it.
A couple snipes there, right?
Yeah, a couple snipies.
Looks like he could play still. He may as well sign up to a contract.
With those hands, he's put him on the PP.
Why not?
Snaps a biscuit around. It was awesome to see. And I know, like, my dad was there, obviously, and Hedgehog and all the boys, Culpy. And it was a lot of fun to catch up with people, Turk as well. And then got to see the Bruins, current day equipment guys. I hadn't seen them in a little bit. So it was just a good weekend, man.
It was. Yeah, high energy. Brad Marsh did a hell of a job.
Yes, he did.
The rest of the Flyers charity staff and whoever else was involved. But yeah, I mean, it was well organized.
Yes.
And you didn't bring in that many guys and have that much fun. It was a good weekend. So
it was awesome.
Until next time.
That's right. Joe says he's done.
I don't believe it.
I don't either. 80 years old, man, out there. Jeez.
For him. Takes
pretty wild. Pretty wild, but I might believe him this time.
Yeah.
I believe him this time. But it was awesome, man. And he got a great tribute, which he should, you know.
Yeah.
Your boy Owen Tippett.
Whew. Tippy.
A little tiptoe to the bank here.
Yeah, I know, right?
Baller, 8 years, 6.2.
Believe not that's correct.
Not
yeah.
A bad payday.
Yeah, not bad. I think that's a great deal for the Flyers, lock up a guy like that.
Really, I do too.
Keeps up the pace and keeps improving every year. It'll be a
I don't see why good it investment. Yeah, very good investment.
Yeah.
Paling signed a new deal as well.
Mm-hmm.
Baller.
2 years, 1.9 each.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, why not? Take it all day.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I think both good signings.
Yeah, both good signings, yeah. Especially Tip.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, he's still young, and I mean, everything he's been doing this year, hopefully it gets better and better as he goes here, which I think it will. Like you
I think
said,
so, too.
Riggs.
You mean he plays, you know, a high-level game, high-speed, attack, shoot. I mean, like...
That's how you score.
That's how you score,
you know,
for sure.
Brad said.
Yeah, right.
100%.
Got to hit the net.
Yeah, he got to hit the net, yeah.
And I think since he's been hitting the net more, he's been scoring more. But yeah. I think, you know, he got an explosive, powerful forward like that. I think he is clocked in at one of the fastest guys this year. You know, young legs, full of energy. So, I mean, great signing.
Yeah,
I think
great
he's going to continue to improve and help add to the core group.
Yep, for sure. Losing streak here.
Yeah.
It's got to five here. It's look a little tired, which we kind of touched on last week. It's hard to play the way they're having to play. It hasn't helped with Owen being out. You know, obviously Hart hasn't been able to play. But hopefully this rest will do them well, you know, do them good, and we'll come back and hopefully start a streak going the other way and try to sneak our way into the playoffs here, get some playoff hockey in Philadelphia because it's been a while.
Yeah, I think they just need to reset, refocus. I think, you know, the news with Carter, and I think they've gone 5-0. I think he played the first game, and then they've dropped the next four. But I think, you know, he's a huge part of the team, and it's unfortunate news. So I think it affects the team chemistry to some degree, whether it's just the mental energy and the synergy, whatever it lands up being. But I think they just need to take this time to, like you said, rest, reset, and come back guns a blazing.
Guns a blazing.
Got to get back on track.
I mean, Wayne Simmonds is still out there, but he's done.
Officially, unofficially retired. Yeah.
Talked to Sim the other day because we thought he was coming in for the alumni game, and he just couldn't get coverage for his kids. So they were kind of stuck. Yeah.
That would have been cool to have him.
That would have been really cool. But he says he hasn't officially retired, but he's done. So
does that just mean he's riding out the season?
I don't know. Maybe. Now that he made that statement, Taylor, I had just talked to him Friday morning, because I said, "Hey,
well, you're the one who told me these guys playing." So I'm like, "I'm thinking I'm making 13th forward again here."
13th, you were going to get the warm up and play.
You're pretty good at that.
You were buzzing. You were playing either way. But yeah, no, he like I said, he couldn't get coverage. But he said he's going to get back to Philly this year. Come in with the family and everything. So that'll be really cool. It would have been great seeing him, though. play, mm-hmm. especially in the black and orange.
Oh,
that would
be cool.
Around the league, one of the teams we've talked about a lot is the Kings, and man, they've been struggling. And Drew Doughty called out a bunch of his teammates, saying almost saying selfish and you know
worrying
looking
about
for
the
points.
Cookies.
Yeah, worried about the cookies. You're right. But every we talked about this too. Like every team goes, like there's going to be ups and downs throughout the year. So, but theirs has been going for a little bit now. They've been struggling for a while. So, I do like watching the Kings play. Mm-hmm. I love Anze Kopitar. Like he's sick. Anyway, they're struggling.
Yeah,
they're struggling right now.
Every team goes through it one point in the season or another. You know.
Yeah.
But I think they're probably in the same boat as the Flyers, just using this time to pause.
Yeah.
Reflect.
In Mexico.
Or Puerto Rico.
I don't know if you're reflecting much on anything.
Probably not.
No, I'm kidding. All the guys, they deserve the break, man. It's a tough schedule. All-Star weekend.
Whew.
Coming up.
It is.
What's your favorite thing about All-Star weekend, or what's your favorite event?
I always like the target shooting.
It's mine too. I was gonna say the same thing. Yeah.
I actually saw a clip the other day of Chief doing it for the Flyers. Yes. Did you see that?
He missed the first two and sniped four straight.
I always thought that was cool. I don't know. Growing up, I just like shooting the targets and like.
You got pressure on you.
Yeah, I know.
You know, the building's
receive,
full.
Receive, yeah. Release, you know.
And it's cool. I like that.
But I also liked watching the fastest skaters, guys buzzing around the nets, you know, especially the high speed.
Yeah.
The guys these days, seeing McDavid's jersey just flutter in the wind like Modano back in the day.
Fedorov
fluttering.
He had the big jerseys all the time. That was pretty cool.
Hit the air pockets and just make you look extra fast.
Maybe I should try that.
Try the exercise jersey. Yeah, get the gold.
It'll just weigh me down more.
You're so light, you just like start floating up there.
My thumb's still messed up from that fall. Yeah. Thumb's still messed up. Just mentioning Carter a minute ago, four other teammates from that junior team were all turned themselves in to the London police, and they were charged, not convicted, of sexual assault. So there's a press conference on Monday the 5th, February 5th, and then probably know more about what's going on. So it's unfortunate times for those guys and everyone involved, not just the guys, but hopefully, you know, once the law does what it does, and we'll figure out what happened here and what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, it is unfortunate.
Very.
You know, serious allegations, and obviously it will get resolved in court. Yeah. You know, can't make really any comments on that.
Nope.
And but we have to separate being charged and convicted, and you know, two separate things. Yeah, it's tough for everybody involved, and you know, families, and just you know, the hockey space in general, right?
Yep.
It's just something it doesn't need, but needs to be resolved, needs to be addressed, and you know, time will tell. So
yep, for sure,
more updates to come.
I know one thing, fans of Philly, baby,
Woo!
It's getting close.
Oh my gosh,
it's only 12 spots left, so everybody knows. There's only 12 spots left.
Oh, my gosh. You better get after it. You better get your spot.
I've got my spot, and you've got yours, luckily.
Okay. So
and I think Baller has his spot as well.
Okay.
Well. Debo, do you have a spot? He talks a lot, everyone, like, just so you know. I don't know if you... Yeah, we got this. We didn't actually get words. He's not talking today.
Not today.
Day off, Wednesday. No, can't wait, man. Joe, gosh. He fired up, man. This is going to be cool. Outdoor.
It'll be the best one yet.
MetLife. You think it'll be the best one yet?
Well, best one of our trips.
Yeah, it'll be one of the best trips, I'm sure. MetLife.
Even though we've had some good ones.
We've had some really good ones.
Yeah.
Get in there and get it. 12 spots left, brother. February 17th.
Whew, it's creeping.
It's creeping. And like I said, only a few spots left. Jump in there, man. We're going to have a blast. Are you bringing any of the tables, like, you know, almost like the Bills Mafia, so we could do some table dives? Because I heard Baller
probably
is going to come off the top of the bus.
Yeah, why not?
Table on fire. Might burn some of that hair off because he needs a haircut. And your beard. Maybe Joe will talk a little something about that when we get him on here in a few minutes.
He may.
He might. No, but seriously, guys, check it out. Fans of Philly, definitely the best sports travel agency around. And they just do it right.
They do.
And I'm really excited for it. I text Joe last night, and I'm like, yo, what's the itinerary, bro? He's like, I got
it. Give it to you? Yeah, you got it?
Yeah. He said it. No, I'll share. Relax. Well, hey, Setsy Downsky.
Oh, my gosh. Keeping that tight to your chest.
Well, we've been working all morning. It just came this morning. I'm fired up, man. He's the best. He's the best. So, looking forward to it.
All right. Well, it's that time, Nast.
It is that time.
We're ready to rock. Episode 145. With our good friend Joe Watson.
Joe Watson.
Here we go.
Let's go. This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Garage Beer, the beer-flavored beer rigs, and I love the classic lime. That's my go-to right now.
Is it? Yeah?
Yep.
Feeling like you're hydrating?
I feel like I definitely am hydrating.
Little fruit, is he?
It's a little fruit in there. Not bad. You know, you can always mix the water in between beers. You don't just have to crush 12. But you can.
But you can. Because
they're that damn good.
Beer-flavored beer.
That's right.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we have a legend in the studio.
Oh, boy.
This young man from born in Smithers, BC. And I'm not talking about our boy Smithers.
No.
BC. Was drafted from the Bruins in the expansion draft in 67. A member of back-to-back championships, 74-75 Stanley Cup champs with the Philadelphia Flyers. He played 836 regular season games, 84 playoff, and a 14-year NHL career, 11 in the black and orange. Mm. Best-selling author, I have to throw in there.
Oh, yeah.
Two-time All-Star.
Oh, gosh.
Mr. Joe Watson.
Oh, well, yeah, what an intro. Holy God, man. I've done a lot of these shows. I've never had an intro like this. That's great,
you're
buddy.
You're the man.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's a pleasure to be here. God almighty. Like I said, I've been traveling around a lot lately, and I'm doing a lot more traveling next week and at the end of this week, too, but it's always nice to talk about hockey.
Yes,
and
sir.
I like to talk to people that know something about hockey.
Yeah, right. It makes it a
it's much more beneficial.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Well, Joe, you're coming off a big weekend, man. And it was great to see, even the morning skate, just seeing you in the locker room with all the boys. And I know you said it's the last time you're going to play, but. Yeah. We're short of D-man on our men's league team.
See me move out there the other day? Jesus God. A bloody turtle could move quicker than me, for Christ's sake.
Oh, boy. How was the weekend?
It was very, very enduring. It really was, Jesus. You know, when I was approached by Brad, he says, Joe, we want you to play. I said, oh, no, Brad, there's no way. He says, yeah, he says, it'll consist of 7 decades. I said, what do you mean, Flyers hockey? Hmm. I says, oh, really? Okay, so take my years with the Flyers and the alumni. 7 decades. I says, well, you know, if you want, I will do it. I will do it just for the sake of doing it and say I've accomplished 7 decades of hockey. And so anyway, Brad says, yeah, we'll do this introduction and everything else. And what I want to do was get dressed with the guys and then go out on the ice when they introduced our the Stanley Cup team. But Brad said, no, we have a special event we're going to do. I says, oh, okay. So, but anyway, I had the pleasure of playing with guys I'd never played with before and meeting some guys. I met most of the guys, but I hadn't met a couple of them. And, of course, the Boston team. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And the Boston, that's where I broke in 1965-66 with the Bruins, you know, and played there. My first game ever with Boston was in 1965 and against the Red Wings. And the Red Wings were my favorite team as a young boy growing up.
Okay.
And I loved Red Kelly. Oh, I loved Red Kelly, so I had a chance to play against Red Kelly, you know, when he was with the Red Wings. And, of course, you know, Gordie Howe, Ted Lindsay had all these guys that I idolized when I was a young boy growing up. And I'll never forget, we won that game 4-0. And Boston was last in the league that year, and Detroit was on top. We beat them 4-0. And I remember after the game, a guy named Gary Bergman, he played for the Red Wings. And he was a defenseman. He came up to me, he said, son, he says, you played a good game out there. I says, really? He says, yeah, I want to congratulate you, your first game ever. I says, yeah. And that was so nice of Gary Bergman. Wow. I'll never forget that, you know. And then, of course, 66 comes along, and I go to training camp, and training camp was in London, Ontario, and I meet Orr, and we roomed together, and we lived together, in fact. But anyway, I got a chance to meet him, and him and I kind of played together, and there was a guy named Gilles Marat. There was a guy named Bob Wojtowicz, Leo Boivin, and Teddy Green. So that was our defense corps, and there were six of us. And so I really enjoyed playing with that group of athletes. And then in 1967, expansion draft comes along, and the league that's expanded from 6 to 12 teams. And and one of the teams were the Flyers. But I had a real good year in Boston, and I found I wasn't protected. And Harry Sinden was a coach, and he had coached me in the minors in Oklahoma City. We won a championship there, and he coached me in Minneapolis. Again, we had a good year, and when I found out I was available, I was very, very, very upset and everything else. And they told me they thought they'd never lose me first. The first player taken to the organization was myself. They thought they were going to lose a guy named Bob Wojtowicz, and then they would protect me. Well, anyway, I was taken and by the Flyers, and initially I was upset, but it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened.
I was going to say,
I wouldn't be here today talking to you guys. I'm having to come here, so what the hell, it worked out well.
it was something I was going to ask you. You brought up playing with Orr. I think it was this rookie year, if I'm not mistaken. He was 18.
Yeah.
Could you tell when you were, I think, 23 by that time?
Yeah.
Could you tell he was something special?
Well, you know what? When I saw him in 1965 in training camp in London, he was only 135 pounds.
Wow.
And I said, how in the hell can he be a defenseman? How can he be a defenseman? So, he was skating. He was like the Galloping Gourmet. He'd come up the goddamn ice, and he'd be all over the place, and he didn't know which way he was going to go. He was so powerful in his legs. So, went away. He left training camp that year and went and bought a rowing machine. A rowing machine, and he rowed for 3 hours a day for 6 months. He put on 55 pounds of muscle.
Wow.
He just totally can change his body and everything else. And he came to camp at 190 pounds.
Jeez.
And
wow,
one year. Huh? 1 year. Whoa. 55 pounds of muscle
That's
he put
insane.
On. And I was shocked, but he was the same guy. So him and I were the only single guys in the team at the time, so we lived together in Little Nahant and everything else, and we had a great time. We had a great time. Oh, my God almighty. What a great guy. And we're still friends today. I talk to him, infrequently sometimes. Every other month or 4 months ago, we'll pass and I'll call him. But he's come to my golf tournament up my hometown a few times, helped me in the golf tournament.
That's great.
And we talk maybe 5-6 times a year.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we always have good conversations and a lot of laughs. And he was telling me about the book. He says, you're going to be busy. And I, there's no way I'm going to be. But he was right. I mean, he was busy. But he sells a million.
You're right on his heels, Joe. You're right on his heels.
I got 900,000 to go.
You'll be all right.
You'll be there. You just started.
Oh God, yeah. But
that's great.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about the book?
The book, man.
Fresh on
it's
the tour.
It's a labor of love. We went to Russia 5 years ago, And Bill Meltzer, Brad decided we thought we should bring Bill Meltzer, because we had 15 tickets for players, and a lot of guys turned me down. A lot of guys weren't interested in going to Russia. So we had to go out and get some other guys and so on and so forth. And we got Freddie Kosivy. Now, Freddie Kosivy is the goalie for the Hershey.
Yeah,
Bears.
I remember Freddie.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Thank God he came, because we were over. Oh, my God. I mean, we were playing a young guys, and Christ, I was 75 then. And I'm playing against guys who are 30, 35 years old. In fact, I hit a guy in Red Square in Moscow and separated my shoulder, had a shoulder operation.
Come on.
But I came back. Yeah. I had a shoulder operation. Well, the guy was coming down. He was coming pretty fast. I said, I'm going to get this guy. He ran over me. He broke stride, but he ran over me. And next thing you know, I get back to Philly. I have to go get an operation in my shoulder, my right wing. Orr was, I honestly think, the best player that ever laced a pair of skates on. Wow. He revolutionized the game of hockey. He did. I talked to Paul Coffey about this when Paul Coffey played for the Flyers, and he says, I remember you guys played together and everything else. I used to watch Orr. I'd do whatever Orr did, try to emulate whatever Orr did, and he was only 8 years old at the time, he was telling me. And, and or would never wear socks, never wear socks. And wow. And a lot of guys tried that, you know. But he just did so many things. And Orr, the thing about Orr, he had such strong forearms. And normally your position of your hands are here are for passing. You know, stick counting. Yeah. And passing here and then shooting here. But Orr always had his hands like this. So you didn't know. You're expecting him to stick handle, not pass or shoot.
Right.
But Orr would shoot the puck from this position a lot of times. Mm. He was so strong in the forearms. Wow. And he ripped the shot, and oh, my God almighty, it was a crazy, crazy. He was so powerful. And he could fight when he had. I remember he fought Teddy Harris one time in Montreal, and Teddy Harris was a tough guy. He was one of the toughest guys in the leagues. Big, tall guy, 6'3", 6'4". For Montreal.
That's big then.
And Orr hit him a shot, man, and he knocked him down. He hit him a shot, and Orr was only 18 at the time, and Teddy was a tough guy. Yeah. They had John Ferguson and Teddy Harris, but Orr was strong. He was tough. If he had to fight, he could fight.
Wow.
Yeah.
Going back to your trip in Moscow, I'm sorry. There. Yeah, you said you brought Bill Meltzer there.
Yes. And we toured around. We went to a place called Kazan. And then wherever we went, we saw people with Flyer jerseys on.
I bet.
And the sad thing about the whole thing is I couldn't tell Mr. Snyder this because he passed away about 6 months earlier. Mm. Because he was when we went to Europe 9 times, and wherever we went, we always saw people with Flyer jerseys. He used to come and ask, "Will you see Flyer jerseys?" I said, "Oh yeah, people wearing Flyer jerseys and everything else." And that made him so excited. And he would have really been excited. He hated the Russians.
Yeah.
But sure. When he had found out the Russians were wearing Flyer jerseys in Russia, he would have changed his mind on the Russians. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he would have.
That's right.
But we played in wherever we sold the buildings out. We played in St. Petersburg, and St. Petersburg had Kovalchuk. They had a real good. Oh, wow. They had a lot of good players. Oh my God!
Did you give them a two-hander or anything?
No. Well, we never played against them. But we played against their alumni team, you know. Yeah. And wherever we went, buildings were sold out. We had 13,500 in St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
And we played in Moscow in Red Square, and a lot of people were there. And then we played in a little place called Kazan, which the president of the country played in the game.
Oh wow!
And so we go into shootout, and I told Freddie Kasivia, I says, Freddie, if the president of the country comes in and takes a shot, let him score. Because if he does score, they'll throw the biggest party we ever had in Russia. And it was true. The Russians threw this party for us. Oh, my God.
That's good thinking there.
Yeah, that's smart. That's smart. Oh, man. Oh, boy.
That's great. But, you know, just the Russians were nice to us. They treated us royally. I'll tell you the one thing. I made a mistake. I bought four Putin jerseys to get signed. I wanted to auction them off in the States,
sure,
in Canada. I never got the jerseys. He kept the jerseys.
No.
Yeah, he never gave them to me. Yeah. Oh. I paid $200 a piece for the damn things too.
Wow.
He never paid me. He never gave me the jersey. He said he would. I never got them.
You better reach out.
Yeah, I'll call a couple people.
But I never got my jersey, son of a guy. The only disappointing about the whole trip was I never got my jerseys. Yeah. But anyway, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
I guess I should have known better. But he was really good to us. The Russians were good to us. They treated us royally. In fact, he okayed the whole trip. You know, he had to.
Really? Yeah, I guess so.
He brought us into the country.
That's awesome.
And he was supposed to play, but he never played against us either.
That would have been cool.
He had to play, but he didn't play. Because Red Square was a place, and the Kremlin's right there in Red Square, eh? And, but he never played in the game with us. Yeah, never played. Yeah.
Interesting. So does that trip inspire the book? Obviously, you got a ton of stories.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right, Riley. You know, I said, if I ever decide to do a book, I'm going to do, I'm going to get Bill Meltzer, because when we were over there's a big following of our team that we're over there playing, and there were a lot of people in America were following our team, which I didn't know this till he told me. I said, holy shoot. So then I said, you know, I said to my wife one night, if I wake up on the right side of the bed I'm going to write a book. And if I wake up the left side of book, left side of the bed, I'm still going to write the book. And that was it. About a year and a half later, I approached Bill, and that was it, you know. And it's just been a lot of work. That's what I was saying. Holy shoot.
Yeah, I can imagine it goes into that. Bill's probably been really awesome to work with, as far as
you know,
piecing stories together, you know, organizing
thoughts. You're
absolutely
right. Riley, he really is good at it, man. Mm-hmm. I'd tell the stories, and he'd write them down, and then he had this tape machine and everything else, and he would condense things, and we would go over the book and say, well, this is not right. There's about five or six things were wrong. And that was my mistake. I should have read the damn book before we released it. But we released it, and there was four or five things that were wrong. But we made the corrections on the third. On the third printing is coming out here in March. So those five things are corrected now.
All right.
Yeah. Nice. You know, there's a couple of spelling mistakes. And
it happens.
And there was other little stories there, a little confusing, yeah. But we got it all straightened away.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you're on the tour, banging the drum.
You're on the tour, catching up with
Orsi. I'm going to Boston.
Great.
I went to New York and at Smith & Wilinski's there in December. And, traveling here and there. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I had a question, Joe. You you brought up legendary Harry Sendin. And I know you played Minneapolis Bruins.
Yep.
Is that where you played for him?
Yeah.
What was that league like? Was it the CPHL?
Central Professional Hockey. It was a good league. That's where all the National League teams sent all their young players to develop.
Okay.
And it was a good league. I mean, it was a good league, man. Oh, boy, oh boy. Freddie Scherer was a coach of the St. Paul Rangers.
Oh.
And we were in Minneapolis, and there's only 8 miles separating the two towns. So we used to have some battles with them. That's when I first met Freddie Scherer.
Right.
And of course, Harry was a playing coach. So we're playing against the Omaha Knights, and they had Noel Picard, and there's a fight breaks out. He goes around, he hits Harry from the side, breaks his jaw, knocks out about 13 goddamn teeth and everything else, hits him a shot like this, the dirty bastard. And he was so big, he was about 250. And our biggest guy was probably 190. What the hell?
Was
crazy.
250's huge back then.
Oh, right? God, he was huge.
That's a big man now.
Yeah. Noel Picard. Oh, he was a dirty bastard, and he didn't, you know, it was crazy. But Harry, he taught me so much. He helped me so much. I played with him. Him and I played defense together.
Okay.
And then in 64, we had the team there, and then they moved the franchise to Oklahoma City in 65. And Harry again was a coach. He wasn't playing. He was a coach then.
Right.
And but he was a guy that really helped develop me. Right. You know, I wasn't a great skater. I could get there and accomplish what I had to accomplish when I got to wherever I had to go, but I wasn't a powerful skater like my brother Jimmy. Jimmy was a hell of a skater. He was our best. Him and Moose Dupont were our two best skaters on our team, as far as defense goes. And you know, they were as fast as anybody we had in our. McLeish was probably our most graceful skater.
Yeah.
You know, but.
He could skate.
Huh?
He could skate.
Oh, you know what? You know what he used to tell us to do? Pass the puck to my skate.
Hmm.
Because the player won't be able to touch the puck when it's in my skate. Because the puck, and what he'll do, he'll direct the puck from his skate onto his stick, and he goes in between guys, and he'd walk in and score a goal. It was crazy.
Wow.
But he says, aim for my skates, pass it my skates, and I'll bang it off I'll push it from my skate onto my stick. He was so smooth, McLeish. And you know what he did? He was a figure skater until he was 9 years old.
Oh, really?
Wow.
9 years old, he did figure skating.
Interesting.
And then he started playing hockey. Yeah.
Build a strong foundation for skating.
Yeah.
But he was so graceful. Oh, my God. His turns were exceptional. Exceptional.
Kind of like you, Nast. Matt Mensley.
I'm not sure about that, Joe. You see, hey, listen, we played. Joe came out with us a few times way back when I first got here. We used to play in the mornings with Mr. Luco and John Page.
I went out once. I said, that's it.
I was lucky. He was coaching as he played. He was all over us.
Oh, yeah.
We were bringing it up.
Oh, God almighty. Boy.
It was great,
and
though.
I said, there's no way. Too many goddamn sticks were in the air. Next thing you know, you're going to clip.
I said,
I'm out of here. I did that once. Peter said, no, you got to come out. I said, yeah, I'll come out. So I went out once. I says, And only once I told him that was it.
Yeah, those skates. I was lucky because I was there for that one then. Because I was out there. It's funny, in Boston, you were actually teammates with Bernie there.
Yeah.
And then you come back here.
Yeah.
And when you win the first cup, it's against the Bruins, obviously.
Yeah.
How was that? It was.
Oh, my God. I was so happy because, you know what? I was so upset when I came. Well, I was initially upset, and the best thing that ever happened to me was. But in a way, so we beat the Rangers in seven games in 1973-74 season to go in the playoffs against the Bruins, and the Bruins had 8 days, 7 days off. They had beaten Chicago very handily, so they're waiting for the Rangers. They thought they're going to play the Rangers. They were training for the Rangers. Well, lo and behold, we beat the Rangers. And I remember we had 1 day off. We won on a Sunday afternoon, and we had to play Tuesday night in Boston.
Wow.
And Boston had been off for 7-8 days. So in a way, I'll never forget, we go to Boston, and I pick up a Boston Globe. And the story was headlines. This is anticlimactic. We just beat a better team. They get to the finals, and we're going to play for the finals of Stanley Cup. I said, who in the frig made that statement?
Yeah, right.
I looked, it was Freddie Shero. Freddie Shero made that statement. He says, we just beat a better team to get the finals, and we're going to play for the final Stanley Cup. I said, Freddie, what the hell are you talking about? We haven't beaten Boston in 7 years in their building. He says, I know that. He says, we're not going to show them any respect. We're going right after them. And what we're going to do, the buildings are warm. The buildings are warm and anything else. And you know what? We're going to shoot the puck in his corner, make him go back and get it. Every time he touches the puck, get in his way, make him exert some energy. He might dominate the first three or four games, which he did, but after that he was tired. He was tired, and we wore him down. He was playing 35, 40 minutes a game.
Jeez.
And it was really, really hot. Oh, my God. And playing against the Broad Street Bullies, it was always a very physical game, and you know, you banged them whenever you possibly could when you can catch them. But Freddie says, we're not going to show any respect for them. We're going right after them. It's going to be a physical series. So it was a physical. Some games were 3.5-4 hours long. Wow. So many bloody fights.
Oh.
I remember we were up 3-1. We go back to Boston for the fifth game. All hell broke loose. All hell broke loose in the warm-up. It didn't start in the warm-up, but there was a lot of things being said in the warm-up. And next thing you know, the game starts, and Christ, it was a four-hour game. A four-hour game was terrible, terrible, terrible. And then we knew, and we got beat 5-1 in that game in their building. And we knew we had to win the next game, or we also have to go back to Boston for the seventh game. That wouldn't have been good. So the sixth game, we always went after them. But I'll never forget, we're up 1-0. There's about 3 minutes to go in the game, and Kenny Hodge comes down and takes a shot right from the top of the circle. Now, Hodge is your Bobby. He could shoot the puck, big guy. And I thought it was in. I was on the bench. I was watching the whole play. I said, holy shit, this is going in. Bernie somehow got his toe on the puck just as it was going in. Wow. And he made the save, and then I knew we were going to make it. So this is the last game, and I'm out in the ice, and just ready to drop the puck. Bernie says, hold it. So I said, what's wrong? He said, Joe, I want Art Schoaf to come here. Now, I don't know if I should say what I'm going to say.
It's okay.
But anyway, I want Art Schoaf to come over. And Bernie said, he says, Joe and Art, he says, just think, we're going to. I said, what the hell? And if you watch it, Art Schoaf go like that. He's going like that.
Not much time.
There were 50 seconds to go in the game.
And you're up 1-0.
Yeah, we're up 1-0. Holy shit. And everybody were, and I'm like, I put my head down, and Art goes like this. Art's laughing his ass off, and he sits his head down like this. Oh, it was crazy. So I was asked after the game what he said. I said, well, I can't tell you that.
Rated R.
Holy God.
That is unreal.
Oh, but that's Bernie.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound out of character.
The pressure.
Yeah.
The pressure, holy Christ.
Yeah. He calls you over. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh man.
God. I said, what the hell's wrong? What's going on? He said, Joe, listen to this. I'm going to tell you, I want Art to come. So he said that.
You imagine you have 50 seconds, you're going to win the Stanley Cup, and you have 1-0.
Oh, my God.
Oh boy.
Bernie, yeah. I remember Bernie at, in the summers when you guys do the fantasy camps.
Yeah.
I remember Bernie telling us some stories, and they were awesome. And he said something, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but he said, when Orr got the puck near the end of the game, there's just a few seconds left, and the people are counting down, and he looks up, and he says, and he threw the puck down. He goes, and he...
No. Orr shot the puck towards the net. You're right. And it missed the net. Bernie wasn't watching. Didn't even freaking see it go by the net. What if he had scored?
Yeah,
he would have been shot, for Christ's sake.
Bernie said, I was looking up the clock and Orr threw the puck down.
Yeah.
And he goes, if he hit the net, we might not be here today.
So I go behind the net, and I'm the last guy to touch it. So, you know, I look, and there's 7 seconds to go, so I don't touch it because, you know, as soon as I touch it, the faceoff's back in their zone. And the first guy to near me was Cashman, so I touched the puck. There was 4 seconds to go. Well, what happened? There's so much noise and everything in the building, the timekeeper didn't hear the whistle blow. So he let the clock run down to 1 second. He realized, so, you know, it was too late then because people are coming over the boards and everything else. Yeah. But anyway, Terry Criss, the little rascal, he played 4 or 5 shifts in that game. He jumped off the bench and grabbed the puck from the linesman. He still has the puck today from our first Stanley Cup win. He has the puck today.
Got it.
He says, Christ. I says, you know, he said, it's over. I says, no, it's not over. Yeah, it's over. And he was right. It was over. Because the faceoff would have been back in there. But he still has the puck today.
He's got it. Wow.
Little bugger. Jesus Christ.
You're going to grab that?
I never thought he'd even grab it. The game wasn't over. Right. I was the last guy to touch it.
Yeah.
I never thought of grabbing it. And Crispy, he knew what he was doing. But he still has the puck today. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a nice souvenir.
Yeah, it is a nice, it's the earliest expansion team ever, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I mean, and they want the puck and everything else. The NHL want it. The
oh, I'm
Hall
sure they
do. The Hall of Fame, I'm sure.
They want it, but they're never going to get it, I don't think, you know.
Talk about selling your shit. Could Crispy to sell the biscuit.
Yeah.
Wow, that must have been amazing. Something quite the celebration, I'm sure.
Well, it was. Right? It really was. And the next day, you know, we had the parade, you know, and...
Man, and, those pictures.
Oh, Jesus.
Not
God. We came along at the right time.
Yeah.
We came along at the right time, we did, because the city itself was in dire strait of needing something.
Yeah.
You know, things were like they are today. People getting shot left and right and beat up and all this other stuff. But we came along right time and gave the whole area a boost. And that's why we're the most popular team, the Broad Street Bullies. Of all the sports teams in Philadelphia, I was at a banquet just recently, and Joe Conklin said, there'll never be another team like the Broad Street Bullies, and they'll be remembered the rest of their life. The Broad Street Bullies will.
Yeah.
The Phillies, okay. Eagles, Sixers, but there's nothing like the Broad Street Bullies.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that.
A friend of mine just came back from Prague here about 3 months ago, and he gets in a cab in Prague. And the cabbie asked him, where you're from? He says, Philadelphia. He says, home of the Bullies. And the guy said, what?
Mm-hmm.
Home of the Broad Street Bullies.
Wow.
Holy shit. And Prague, of all places.
Yeah, right?
It's crazy.
You see my shirt today, right?
Huh?
Broad Street Bullies.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, good
you
stuff.
I thought it was Guns N' Roses. Really? Yeah. Broad Street Bullies,
that's good
baby.
Deal.
That's right.
Good, yeah. But, yeah, you know what? There'll never, you know, it's just crazy. I mean, there'll be never another team like the,
I agree with
like
that.
The Broad Street Bullies in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you guys kind of redefined the sport at the time, and you know, very unique identity, right? It was nothing like anybody had ever seen before, so you'll never see that again.
That's right.
In sports.
That documentary they did, or movie, I don't know.
They're doing another movie. They're doing another 2 shows. You know,
are they?
Oh,
the
are
Broad
they
Street
really?
Bullies.
They should.
Yeah, I just got interviewed here from a guy from California. He came out, and he came to my house, and Jimmy and I were there for 3.5 hours.
Wow.
And he's got somebody buying the whole thing. They're going to sell it to somebody. I don't know who they're
like
selling.
Netflix,
I know a bunch
Amazon
of people, a bunch of these Netflix or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They want the thing, so they're going to. The guy's going to make good money on it.
Great.
You know, and he's going to pay the alumni money too, which is nice.
Great.
But we've been interviewed. Yeah, we've been interviewed regarding that game, the '76 game, the Russian game.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah,
well, may as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Talk about yeah, it.
Yeah. I mean, you know what Coach Shiro said. You got the short handy. You got the short handy goal. He said you set Russian hockey back 25 years.
Yeah, they haven't recovered yet.
Yeah,
they
are still working back.
Well, but take us through that day. Like, what? That's amazing to watch the highlight and hear the stories.
Oh, God. You know what? The day before, we had practice at the Spectrum. And the Russians practiced first. We were watching their practice. Oh, my God. They were moving all over the place. Holy shit. Look at these guys. And then we went out and practiced, and we more or less fooled around there trying to figure out what we were doing. We were trying to figure what we're doing, too. Freddie didn't even come out the ice. And he no. Just go out there. We were fooled around and everything else. And so then now we have a banquet in the old Blue Line Club, in the Spectrum. And they start introducing the Russians, and then they start introducing the Flyers. And there was a lot of press there, press from all over. And they start introducing the Flyers, and they come to number 8, Dave Schultz. All of a sudden, the Russians are looking around, paying attention. Where is this guy and everything else? And then we knew they were nervous. They were a little nervous, little apprehensive about what they're going to do. They're going to war tomorrow. They know they're going to war.
Yeah.
So anyway, Freddie devised a system, and Freddie had us standing up between center ice and the blue line. And I want the wingers to fall in behind the defense. And I want our defenses to try to throw them off stride. And hopefully we can throw them off stride and we can intercept passes and go the other way. Hmm. And, it worked to a T. We outshot them 49-13.
Wow.
And if Tretiak hadn't have played well, we would have won 10-1. We outshot them 49-13. And they had a great team. They beat all the top teams in the league.
Right.
The only team they tied was Montreal. They tied Montreal. But they beat all the top teams. And
incredible.
And I remember Clarence Campbell coming in the dressing room before the game, and Lloyd Gilmore was a referee, and Clarence Campbell never liked the Flyers. He hated the Flyers for the style of play they were. But you know what? Wherever we went, we sold the buildings out. And he came into the dressing room. He says, "You guys have to uphold the prestige of hockey in North America." And we more or less said, "Get the fuck out of here."
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we said. Get the hell out of here. You don't like us. You were very reluctant to come out on the ice and present us a Stanley Cup. And we won against Buffalo last year, all this stuff. And Freddie says, "Well, this is what we're going to beat him. This is the way we're going to play him. This is the way we're going to beat him."
Right.
And there's a big difference in playing and beating.
Yeah,
totally. Big difference. And, Freddie believed that we would beat them. And we handily beat them. Oh my God Almighty! I mean, Tretiak hadn't played great. Holy shoot! We would have blown them away. Would have blown them away.
Lopsided.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, I didn't realize the shots were like that.
Yeah, 49-13. Yeah.
What were you guys thinking when they left the ice?
Well, you know what? I didn't know. I mean, we had no idea. And I always felt that they were going to come back because they love their money. They had to get their 200,000 rubles. They don't come back, they're not going to get 200,000 rubles. Mr. Snyder had told them that. So they proceeded to come back. But they were just happy to get the game over.
I was going
to
say, they were just going through the motions.
Yeah, they were happy to get the game over. They wanted no part of the game,
Right.
And it's funny, boy, we got letters from people all over the world congratulating beating the Russians. I felt bad for the Russians, They were good guys. I mean, I got to know some of them, talked to some of them, and I just felt really bad. But they were, the Russian comes out of their dressing room after the game, and he has his hat on. He has his Russian Cossack hat. And I had a $2.50 flyer hat, little hat and everything else. He comes to me, hot. You want my hat? He says, yeah. I take yours. Now, his hat was worth $2.50, a Russian Cossack hat, and mine was worth $2, so I made a good deal there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, geez. I never realized the impact we made, because we got letters from all over, but we had to go to Kansas City on a Tuesday. We played the Russians Monday. We had to go to Kansas City Tuesday, play Wednesday. And I remember Clark and I walking into this clothing store. And we're looking around, and the guy comes up, he says, "You guys are the Flyers, aren't you?" And he says, "Yeah." He says, "I want to congratulate beating the Russians." I mean, in Kansas City, who in the hell watches hockey in Kansas City? They might have 8,000-9,000 people come to the game. When the Brulies were there, we would sell the games out. But I couldn't believe it. A guy in Kansas City says, to want to gradually beat the Russians. But we got letters from all over. It was crazy from people congratulating.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
This is pre-internet and everything like that. Yeah, how quickly the news travels, too.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the game went to Australia, New Zealand, Japan. And my wife's parents lived in Stuttgart, Germany, my first wife. And they watched the game, never seen a game in their life, for Christ's sake. They watched it at 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, really?
Because game was on at 1 o'clock here, eh? So 8 hours difference. But they watched it, and we got letters from, like I say, all over of congratulating. The Russians were not well liked, you know, and it was kind of sad, but, you know, hate to hear that about people.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the way it was.
Is that mainly just like on the politics? Is that what?
Yeah,
because it has nothing to do with the hockey, really, right?
It's just... You know, when we played against the Russians in Philly, there were a lot of activists outside, and they had signs and everything else, and they came in. These people with season tickets came in and put these signs up. And the Russians refused to play the game. They didn't take the signs down, so they had to take all the signs down.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
All the signs were directed towards their. You know, to the Russians.
The government. Right.
It was kind of sad, you know. But anyway, that's the way it was.
Yeah. I guess that's a perfect example of separating just sport and humans from the politics, right? Because you said, like, these guys are just humans. These guys aren't involved in all
and
this
they
shit.
And they were, you know, I got to know some of them, you know, Petrov, Mikhailov, and these guys, and Karbalov, just got to know the guys, you know, and good guys. They're very nice. And they spoke English, too. Not great, but they spoke English.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool experience.
Yeah.
One of your teammates who I just love, Bob Kelly.
Wow.
Just what a great human.
Salt of the earth.
Yeah.
Salt of the earth.
Great guy. I remember a few years back, Joe, I don't know if you remember this, we were playing golf, we were at some outing, and I think you were in the group either behind me or in front of me, but we were waiting.
Yeah.
So you started telling me about Hound. You guys used to have a store. I don't know what kind of store it was called, Corvettes or something?
Guys had Corvettes, yeah. But,
he wanted to go shopping for...
It was tires.
Oh, tires.
It was winter tires in L.A. Okay. So we told him, well, you got to go to L.A. and buy winter tires. So he hires a cab in L.A., drives around for 2 or 3 hours trying to find winter tires. He thought he was going to save money. Poor Hound.
Oh, my God.
And then we were landing in L.A., and somebody said, there's a Y. Well, he knocked about four people out of his way so he get a look. There was an island there. He thought that was, we said, that's the Hawaiian Islands there. And I don't believe that. We're landing in L.A., for Christ's sake.
Poor Hound. Picked up a map.
I can't imagine, like, these days, the game's a lot different now. And but the pranks you guys used to do on each other. Like, I remember even when I was a kid, you know, and some of the things you guys would do, like, you couldn't do it anymore.
No. I remember one time we had to go to court in Vancouver and over a thing that happened in Vancouver in 72. So we were in this hotel, Vancouver, and we're in the bar drinking, and Cowboy Flett had the big beard, eh? Big beard, and Cowboy, he was drunk. He passed out. So Barry Ashby lit his beard. The beard on fire. He's burning. He's going like they're trying to put it out. We're pouring beer on him and we're trying to put the damn thing out. It was crazy. He had third-degree burns that looked like on his face, for Christ's sake.
Come on, God.
Hotel Vancouver. Holy Christ, man. Oh, man. God.
Give this guy any idea.
You're right.
Good thing I won't be passing out.
Oh, my God. Don't pass out.
Was he ready to kill somebody?
Oh, well, he was so inebriated. He couldn't move. He's going like this, trying to put it out. And cried. Then we had to pour beer on his face to put it out.
Oh, my God. What a prank.
Oh, boy.
It's crossing the line. It's crossing the
line. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
So we go to Vancouver. Reggie. 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 we would, you know, wherever we went in Vancouver, we were hated, you know, and people didn't like us, but everybody knew we were there. And we went to a place called the Ritz Hotel. Now, you think the Ritz Hotel, a name like the Ritz, has got to be a beautiful hotel and everything else. Well, it was a hole in the wall. We went there because people would let us have a good time, and we weren't bothered. But these miners and loggers would come in after work. And Reggie's strong in the forearms, eh? So we get drinking, and we say, listen, Reg, why don't you wrestle this guy for a table of beer? And the guy said, oh, yeah, I'll wrestle him for a table of beer. Reggie go, boom, down the goes. We got a whole table of beer. And you know, when we need some Bubble Louies, that's what we do. Bubble Louies, I was going to say, that's what you call. and you know, ended up, we had five tables full of beer. And we had to go, we had a curfew, 11 o'clock curfew. We had to go back to the hotel, but we have five, maybe 30 bottles of 30 beer in each goddamn table.
Oh, my God.
But Reggie won them all for it. Oh, my God.
Did you polish Reggie him off before down. A curfew?
Huh?
Did you polish him off before a curfew?
No, we didn't. There's no way. Holy Christ. But we left it for the loggers and the miners and the other people. Yeah. They were happier than hell. They lost it. So now they got a chance to drink their own beer. But Reggie put them down, man. Reggie had forearms. Oh, my God. He was powerful. Oh, Jesus.
Man, when you guys, so like back in the day, when you guys would come to camp, like, were you coming to get in shape?
Oh, a lot of guys were, but not me.
I started
the 1st of July. I started training for the next upcoming season because I wasn't as talented as, I wasn't a skater like a lot of our guys, but some of our guys, I mean, they came to camp to get in shape. But that's bullshit. I mean, that's not smart. But anyway, that's what they did because, you know, you younger guys coming up looking for a job and everything else, you know, and we were pretty well settled in our team. But there's a couple of guys like Terry Murray made it 1 year for us, and we sent somebody, we traded one of the guys for Terry Murray. You know, he came in, played with us. And there was a couple other guys, but mostly our team was all set. But I didn't want to go to camp and try to get in shape because, goddamn, you get sick and everything else. It doesn't look good in front of the coach and the manager and the press when you're getting sick. You're not in good shape. So I always came to camp in shape. Some guys didn't. Some guys paid for it. They paid for it.
Man, oh man.
But I cannot believe the way these guys skate in this game today. Oh, my God.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Oh, my God, the speed. The speed kills.
Yeah.
I went to the first practice facility in September. I had to go over there and meet somebody, and I'm just watching the Flyers in their practice. I says, holy God, I can't believe how fast these guys are. Yeah. And I said at that time, the Flyers are going to surprise a lot of teams. They really are. And boy, they have so far.
Oh, yeah.
And I just hope this respite really helps them. It gets them back focused on and everything else. Because I like the team. I really like the team.
I do, too.
And they're young kids and everything else, and they work hard. I mean, the Flyers have 9 guys 24 or under.
Yeah.
You know, 24 or under. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the nucleus of our team for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, there'll probably be a move here and there. You know, I've heard that some of the players are in demand from other teams.
Right.
And Danny Breer and Keith Jones at the helm, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they know what
they're doing, man. They really do. And it's just a matter of time for this team is competing for the Holy Grail.
Yeah. I hope so.
You know, when you look at the Flyers, since 1974, there's only one team that's been in the finals of Stanley Cup more than the Flyers. That's Montreal Canadiens. They've been there 10 times, and the Flyers have been there 8.
It's wild.
Eight times, only won it twice. But 8 times. Some teams have only been there once or twice.
Right. Yeah.
But
people forget that because if you don't win, right?
Yeah, like, that's it. Yeah.
You kind of forget.
Yeah.
Riles was on the last team.
Yeah.
The 2010 team.
Oh, God, I remember in Chicago there.
It was tough. Yeah.
God damn it, man. You know what? Michael Layton had I was talking to Patrick Sharp the other day because we were bullshitting on the ice before the game and everything else and our practices. Patrick, I'll never forget that goal you scored on Michael Layton right between his legs on the ice from about 35 feet out long. He said, I shot some high on him and I scored a couple. I think he anticipated me going high, so I decided to go low right between his legs.
That was
a game. That was the 6th game in the playoffs. Yeah. And Jeff Carter had a chance to win the goddamn game. Remember, with a minute to go,
mm-hmm.
and right in front of the net, all by himself, he just couldn't elevate the puck up.
Yeah.
If he had got it up, we went to 7 games. And who knows?
You don't
what
know
happened.
What happens.
You're right. I never forgot that. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
What was it like playing with your brother? That must have been.
Well, you know what? We were the 4th brother combination ever win a Stanley Cup. You imagine that?
Wow!
So from 1974, There was the Richards, obviously, and there was the Cooks and some of the Smiths or something, and the Rangers in the 40s. But obviously, a chance to play with my brother was wonderful. Because at one time, Jimmy was out of hockey. He came down to visit me in 1969-70, and he was playing in Calgary. Scotty Monroe had the team in Calgary at the time, and he really wasn't getting along. He wasn't very happy about his game and everything else, and he kind of took a couple of months off, and then he came down to visit me. We talked about it a lot, and he rejuvenated himself, and he started playing, and he became an all-star in the Flyers draft, and everything else was really nice. So I never envisioned that would happen. I never even knew the Flyers. I didn't know the Flyers had drafted him. I didn't know. I was at a wedding in Kimberley, British Columbia, on a Saturday, and the draft was on a Friday, or Saturday. It was on a Saturday. So I phoned home to my mom just to talk, and she said, "Do you hear what happened?" I says, "Oh, no. What happened?" She said, "Jim got drafted by the Flyers." I said, "What? He was Flyers? Wow. Really?" No kidding. I was so excited. My God. Okay. And then I helped negotiate his contract when he became a pro. And it was my last year of my contract at 72 and his first year, because he was making more money than I was. That's a hell of a deal. But my contract was up, so then I got my money again. But anyway, but I got on the deal more than I was making at the time.
Did you collect 5% of the contract?
Yeah, right.
They didn't start the NHL amateur draft till like 63, right?
So no, 67 or 68.
It was 67?
Yeah, 67,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was Clarkie was taken in 67, wasn't he? Clarkie came here in 60. No, he was drafted in 68. Maybe it was Bob Currier. Remember Bob Currier? You probably don't remember a guy named Bob Currier.
No,
he was drafted first by the Flyers, and then Clarkie got him in the second round. I think maybe it was 69 Clarkie came, yeah. But, and the reason he wasn't drafted earlier is because of being a diabetic.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I think they're apprehensive about drafting him because of, being a diabetic. But boy, I never seen a more intense and more gung-ho guy than Bobby Clark. There's a guy, couldn't skate, couldn't shoot, all he could do was play.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to Harry Sinden about this past summer, and Harry, he always asked me how Clark is. I was Clark is doing great, and we're talking, and Harry said to me, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "You know, Clark, he couldn't skate, couldn't shoot, all he could do was play hockey. One of the best players in the friggin' world at the time. And he wasn't a great skater. He didn't have a great shot. But boy, oh boy, he had everything. Every go along with a player. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He was one of the great leaders. One of the great leaders in all of sports. All of sports. Not only hockey, all of sports.
Yeah.
Was he like one of those? Did he talk a lot as a captain? You know what I mean? Or did not really
He did sometime, but a lot of time. And like I was assistant captain, so he'd ask me to say something in ML. But, you know, when he wanted to say something, he got his point across. I'll never forget 1973. We lose against Montreal in five games, 72-73 season. And we're in Montreal. We got beat. And he tells the coaches and the trainers, "I want you out of the dressing room." And Clark, he said, you know, in his speech, he said, the year end, we're finished. And he said, "You know, boys, we got something special here. Let's go home and take good care of ourselves this summer, come back to camp really in good shape, and let's get off to a great start. And we could win this cup," he said. And boy, he was right.
Wow.
Yeah. We won the next year, and then we won the following year, too. And we went the third year against Montreal. And I think if we had McLeish and Perrant in those games, we would have went seven games with Montreal, because every game was one goddamn goal. Wow. Jesus, every game. I remember telling my first wife, I says, "Honey, make arrangements. We're going to go to Aruba." And she said she made the arrangements. Then we lose. I says, no, we're not going. I says, holidays are for winners, not losers. We're not going. So divorced, we got divorced and everything else. She brought it up in court, for Christ's sake, with a judge. I said, "That has nothing to do with it." He says, "No, but I want to just tell the judge what you did to me." So she was all upset.
No way.
Yeah.
She wanted to squeeze out that extra trip.
Yeah.
Throw that in the package.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
What he did to me on the Aruba. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. But Clarkie said, "Boys, we got something special." He was right, man.
Yeah,
yeah. For sure. I love the way he described that. He couldn't skate, couldn't shoot, but
he just could play hockey.
And then, you know, it's like you see,
wasn't a great skater, didn't have a great shot, but boy, he was a leader. He'd be one of the leading scorers every year in the Bloody League.
Yeah.
Just think if he could skate like McLeish and shoot like McLeish. Christ, he would have got 200 points a year.
Yeah.
You know, McLeish was so the most skilled player. Flyers had the most. I've watched every Flyer team come up, and McLeish, Giroux, Lindros, and Forsberg are the most naturally skilled players the Flyers have ever had. Yeah. Ever had, really. Holy God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. The
game's a lot different these days,
oh,
huh?
Oh, boy. It's so fast now.
Yeah.
Boy, the emphasis on speed. If you can skate, you're going to get a job.
Yeah.
They can teach you the rest of the position and so on and so forth. But if you can skate in this game today, you got a job. There's a lot of guys, myself, a lot of guys couldn't play in this goddamn game today. It's just too fast.
Yeah.
Too fast. It is. And, you know, the thing about the game is so scrambly now. The scrambly because there's no room out in the ice. There's no room in the ice to move because the guys are upon you so quickly.
Yeah.
So the best thing they can do is go 4-4 hockey, which they never will do. Never will do, but you know, 4-4 hockey would be a much more splendid game to watch.
It would be graceful
and everything else, and there'd be nice goals being scored. Now you get so many scrambly type goals in front of the net, and they're just the reason they scored because these guys go to the net and get them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you not like about the current game?
Oh, I like the game. I like the game. I love the speed. I love the emphasis on the speed. Yeah. I just think there's so many scrambly type goals. You don't see pretty goals more. Once in a while, you might see one, but you don't see a lot of real splendid, beautiful goals because there's no room out there.
Mm-hmm.
The guys are so fast and so quick.
Yeah. You don't have much time and space.
No, there isn't.
There isn't. There really isn't. Oh, my God. I'm glad I'm not playing this game today. It's very tough to play.
Yeah.
It really is. And you know, when you get hurt badly.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, because
guys are getting hurt badly.
So big and strong.
Huh?
Guys are so big and strong and fast.
Fast is right.
Yeah.
Well, you brought up before we started, unfortunate you had to retire with your, you know, when you were in Colorado there.
Yeah.
And like you said jokingly, God, I'm glad I wasn't faster
because
it could have been uglier.
Oh, God,
but these guys are the speed. Even when Connor McDavid, his rookie year, when him and Brandon Manning got, you know.
Yeah.
I even had said earlier when we were watching them practice, I said, I think I'd be afraid to go that fast just for the reason of tripping up, knock wood, hopefully no one. But, man, the speed.
Oh, I know.
It's insane.
Oh, speed kills.
Oh, man.
Speed kills, man. These guys, oh, God. You know, it's incredible. You know, Orr represented Connor McDavid. Eh?
Okay.
He was a representative of his company, and so a guy was telling me that I forget his name, but he was an agent for Orr, and he went to one of the practices that Connor McDavid was, and he went and talked to him, and he says, "We'd love to represent you." And I'm with the Bob Orr group. And so Connor McDavid goes home and tells his dad, he says, "Bobby Orr wants to represent you. he's representing you. That's it. He's representing you because he was my idol as a young boy growing up, and I loved Orr. If he wanted to represent you, that's who's going to handle everything. And that was it. That's how we got him.
Wow.
That's how we awesome. Got him. Yeah. Yeah.
Not a bad client. Yeah, not a bad client, exactly. Not true. Well, or a bad agent.
Oh, yeah. My God. Isn't that true? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Do you find there's a lack of physicality in the game? Are you okay
well,
with
they're,
it?
Well, they can be really physical if they want because these guys skate so fast. But, you know, I think they take it a little lenient on each other, you know, and Christ almighty, nobody wants to get hurt.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you'll see some guy doesn't like somebody, it looks like, and he goes after him. But for the most part, the game is so fast, and I think if you want to do damage to somebody, you could do damage pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
You could.
Yeah.
You really could. Guys are very gingerly, sometimes go on the boards, and they clash together, don't hit very hard, whereas with the opportunity to hit really hard, but they don't, which is... out of respect for one another, which is nice to see, you know.
Yeah.
But I love the game. It's just a little scrambly. Like you said, there's no time to make a play. You got a second to make a play, and that's it. You don't have 2 or 3 seconds.
No.
Guys right upon you, got a second to make a decision. Boom, that's it. You got to do it right away.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're going to continue to get faster somehow, too. Somehow you see some of these youth hockey players, it's so fast.
Well,
so
I know.
Even in my son's level, you have to be able to skate.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be able to skate to play.
Yeah, sure.
So
the emphasis on speed, man. Holy mackerel. Yeah.
Talk about Ed Snyder as an owner and just like his legacy and just like putting Philly on the map and all that goes into that because it's amazing to see this organization.
You know, you're right, Roddy. You know, Mr. Snyder, I was playing for Boston in 1966, and he was accountant for the Eagles. And Jerry Woolman was the owner, and they were brother-in-laws. So Mr. Snyder decided to go to Boston to see the Celtics play the Sixers. And it was a Sunday afternoon, and he goes to the game. There's about 8,000 people in the building. That's all there was. And the Celtics were the best team in basketball. They won 4 or 5 championships in a row, and the Sixers were a good team at the time. He goes to the game, he sees 8,000, he couldn't believe there's 8,000 people at the game, that's all. So he leaves the game and he comes outside and he sees all these people lined up to go back into the building, the old Boston Gardens. And he went and inquired and there was a hockey game. He says, oh, Jesus, I've never seen a hockey game before. I said, maybe I'll get some tickets. He got tickets, went to the game. That's when he decided he wanted to be an owner in the National Hockey League. So he found out the National League was going to expand from 6 to 12 teams. He goes to the league office in Montreal. He goes to the league office in New York. He convinced them to bring the franchise here. It was supposed to go to Baltimore, Washington. He convinced them to bring the team here. So he sells his 10%. He got the Eagles, and he got $2 million. He put that $2 million in. And he needed $12 million. He went and got some investors and so on and so forth. And that's how the Flyers became a National Hockey League team.
Wow.
But in February that year, in February the first year, there was a bad storm that came through. And we lost part of the Spectrum roof. There's about a 20-foot hole in the Spectrum roof. So what happens when you do that? You know, you're not going to be able to play any games at home. So we had to travel. We were traveling all over the place. And there was no money coming in Mr. Snyder to keep the franchise going, and he said, if I don't get any infusion of money, I'm going to have to sell the franchise. So he went to 4 or 5 different banks, and they all turned him down. There was a guy named Bob Bear, no relation to the Bears.
Right.
He was in charge of the loan department for Girard Trust. And Mr. Snyder goes to him. He was the last banker to go to because if he doesn't get the money, he's going to have to sell the franchise. So he goes to him and he says, I need an infusion of $2 million to keep the franchise going. And Bill Bear says, you know, they talk for a while. He says, I'll tell you what, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, you'll have $2 million in your account. And that was it. And so we kept the franchise in Philadelphia. But lo and behold, the franchise could have moved.
Yeah.
If he hadn't got that money. But Mr. Snyder, man, all he wanted to do is win. All he wanted to do is win. There's nothing wrong wanting to win.
Right.
He'd do anything to win. And he was the greatest owner in Philadelphia and one of the finest owners in all the sports. He really was. All the sports.
Yeah.
And very smart man. He made the National Hockey League grow. And a lot of teams become successful because of his. Him and Gary Bettman were very close.
Yes.
And him and Gary used to have numerous meetings about this and that and everything else, you know. And Ed would come up with these ideas, and Gary would listen to him. And by God, the league just grew. Yeah. And you know, I mean, you couldn't have asked for a finer owner.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget our second cup. We beat Buffalo, and we had a big party at his place. And we're bullshitting, and he said, "This is easy. Easy. We haven't won since then, for Christ's sake. So what? It wasn't not that goddamn easy. 50 years later, we haven't won." But he says, "This is easy. After 7 years, 8 years, we won two Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
We haven't won since."
Oh, man. This is easy.
This is easy. I'll never hear him saying that. Oh, what the hell?
He was awesome. He was so awesome.
Great owner.
I mean, you just obviously he's a very, very smart man. I remember having a meeting with him, Joe. It was in the summer, and he emailed me, and he says, "Are you around?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Yes." I said, "Yes, sir. Do you need something?" He says, "Can you come see me tomorrow morning at the center? I want you to bring shoulder pads, elbow pads, all the pads that the guys are wearing right now." And he had this idea. He was working with Gary Bettman.
Uh-huh.
And his thought was, but since the pads had gotten bigger, because we had a rule where you had to have an inch and a half of padding elbows, shoulders, so everyone was having to change or keep their shoulder pads, but we were having to sew new shoulder caps on.
Okay.
And his idea was, I think guys are getting hurt more. They're bigger, they're faster, obviously.
Yeah.
But they're not afraid to throw that shoulder now because there's a lot more protection. Sure. And I never really thought of that, but I was like, man. So I got up in there, and I remember I was like, you know, I've got like tattoos, and usually I was always covered up.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a coat or anything, so I ended up going up to his office, and he was like, "I love your art."
Isn't that nice?
Didn't expect it. He's like, "Tell me about it." So I'm like sitting there with Mr. Snyder, telling him about my tattoos, but then brought the gear out, and man, he was so in tune with what was going on.
Yeah.
And it's funny you brought up the Eagles too, because he had an old helmet, this like leather, and he was showing me that. But I knew him for since I was a kid, as you know. Sure. But to sit with him for like an hour and a half, was like I was literally amazed. I was telling everyone, like, this guy blew me away.
Yeah,
and he was so cool. Like he was so cool. How much he cared. How much he cared about, like, asking me about everything was going on with me. And I remember when he would come over to the skate zone for practice, he would come once in a while. I never forget, we had the back doors open because we were loading some stuff, and you hear this loud music, you know, and car comes in, it's Mr. Schneider, he's got the windows down, top back, you know, and I don't remember what it was, but it was just rock and roll, and he came cruising in, and I was like, and he had this Porsche, one of the four-door ones, and it was like it's a type of purplish blue, it just was the coolest color, and I said to him, I said, "You got my favorite car with you today." He throws me the keys, he says, "Take her for a spin." I said, "No." I said, "My luck, I'll pull out and get T-boned in this thing, and I can't afford it." But he was just the coolest guy.
That's the way he was, man.
I loved him, man. Yeah. He was awesome.
Oh, boy. He'd do anything. I know some guys had monetary problems, you know. Some guys weren't handling their money very well, and they go to him, and he'd give them a loan or even give them the money, and he wouldn't ask for the money back. I know some of the guys, you know. That's the way he was, man.
It was truly family
with
him. I mean, people say that sounds corny, but it was.
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
It's back to that, I believe.
Yeah.
With Danny and Jonesy and Mr. Anthony,
you're right. Yeah. I look for good things with this organization. Yeah. I really do. I'm excited because those two guys at the helm, we're going to do well.
Agreed.
We're going to do well. They're very intelligent. Sure. They're very smart. Yeah, I really do. Yeah.
You got
the
attitude back anyways, that resilience.
The attitude, right. Yes.
She's missing the last few years, at least.
Sure.
The way we see it.
Yeah.
Never going back to the Broad Street Bullies, but the being hard to play against, that resilience.
Yeah, they are. They're so quick.
Yeah.
They're so quick. The game is so quick. Oh, my God. Guys respond quickly, man. Holy Jesus. They respond to the play very quickly.
Yeah,
I know we didn't respond very well there against Boston the other day. There were some real lapses, real strong lapses in the game. Jesus Christ, I was mad. Oh, God.
Still get fired up watching the games.
Do I ever? Well, you know, you're sitting in the box and you hear me.
A few times.
You hear me. Holy shoot, man. I get worked up. Oh, God. Yeah.
That's how you
but
play.
But anyway, that's that. Yeah, that's that.
What was it like growing up in Smithers? What's going on up there?
Well, when I left there, boys, in 1960, there was about 800-900 people lived there.
Oh, is that small?
And now it's about 6,000.
Okay.
Yeah, and the industries are, you know, logging, mining, railroading, and farming. Those are the industries there.
Okay.
And you do one of the four things, and certainly I didn't want to spend the rest of my life there. I wasn't, you know, I wanted to get out and enjoy life and everything else. And you know, I just thought that it, in order to make a living, I had to do something else. And I was fortunate to be drafted, not drafted, but spotted by the Boston, the Estevan Bruins in 1960. And went from there.
It was really awesome.
From there, yeah.
Well, one hockey rink in with 900 people, or was there even a rink?
There was an outdoor rink. We had no we had no artificial ice or anything, but it was cold enough. The weather was conducive to hockey in the wintertime. Yeah, nice.
And then pumps out two NHL players.
Yeah.
We had 8 or 9 guys that came from there. Flockarts from there. Glenn Cochran was played. Alan Kerr was from there. Danny Hamhouse is from there. We had eight or nine guys that lived in Smithers at one time or another. Cochran was there for about 8-9 years. Glenn Cochran. There was a lot of guys. Yeah, Alan Kerr.
It's pretty impressive.
Brian Spinner Spencer wasn't very far from there. There was a couple other guys too.
Amazing.
I
guess when you're not working in the logging industry and whatever else, you just find the local rink and just play hockey and get the reps.
Crazy, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I was a big hunter and fisherman. I love hunting and fishing, and you know, I go home every summer, go fishing, have my golf tournament in Smithers in August. So that's really good too.
Great. That's awesome.
That way.
Beauty.
Joe, we cannot thank you enough for we know how busy you are. Hey, you only got 900,000 to go to catch Mr. Orr.
Mr. Orr, right?
And, and I'll tell you this: while you were with the Flyers, you were a +188, which is
really
unbelievable.
Really? Okay,
you were
good.
A +56 one year. Yeah. I don't even know how you do that. But we're still leaving that open invitation to the men's league. Because I don't think you're done.
Yeah.
Natty Ice can use
I think
you,
I am done.
He's recovering from the alumni game until the next game.
There you go. But we do appreciate your time.
I didn't realize 186, holy shit.
I think it was 188, if I'm not mistaken. +188. Okay. Yeah.
That means you're on for a lot of goals.
I was very defensive minded. That's the way I was, you know. I mean, my job wasn't to score. My job was to try to prevent, you know, things happening. So.
Well, you were obviously out there a lot when they did score. So
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, that's very nice, boys. Thanks for the opportunity. I really enjoyed this. This is a great. I wish they all went this smoothly. Really do. But thank you very much for considering me and bringing me on.
Of course. Thanks for coming in here. Where can our listeners find your book?
JoeWatsonOfficial.com.
JoeWatsonOfficial.com. Beautiful.
Get on it, people. He's got 900,000 to sell. Yeah. Catch his buddy.
More than that. Holy shit, man. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
God. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys. Thanks for having me.
Right, fun. Yeah. You're the man.
Big thank you to Smokin' Joe Watson for hopping on.
Thundermouth.
What a beauty.
Remember in Rocky 3, Hulk Hogan was in it? Thunder Lips, baby. What a great guy, man. He's fired up.
Always.
At the age of 80, playing in a hockey game, he's fired up.
I mean, talk about a guy that absolutely loves the Flyers. Like,
oh, my God.
Lives it, breathes it, still does.
We talk about bleeding black and orange. Like, he really does.
No, seriously.
I believe if he gets cut, it's like orange and black. Like, for sure.
I would say so. I mean, you got to give him 100% props about everything he's done and then showing up the other night for the alumni game. 80 years old. Just couldn't help himself.
No.
Need to get out there.
Hey, he says it's his last one.
He's coming back.
Sneak back in there, man. We didn't talk about it real quick. We didn't talk about it with him, but you know, he played a lot of alumni games. Like, I mean, I'm talking about years ago when my dad Sudsy would fill in and play goalie for games. They're playing like the fire department and PA or whatever, you know, fire department out of there, and they're smoking them. It's like 10-0. So they throw a little 8-year-old kid out there, you know, for the fire department, one of the guy's kids, and he keeps shooting on my dad. He's like literally hitting Sudsy, which is hard to do because he's not that big. But finally, my dad like kind of opens his legs more and the kid scores. Joe lost his shit. We had a shutout today. You know, like, Joey's eight.
Yeah, right. Throw him a bone.
All right. Yeah. You know, like, but, oh, yeah. Fired up all the time.
Always. Man. He loves it. Yeah. What a good dude.
Yeah, and, he is.
Thanks for coming on, Joe.
Yes, thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate you.
Joe Watson.
It's that time, Nast.
It is?
Let's get going.
Debo's at that time? Jeez. It's time for Clear Questions Rigs, brought to you by Clear Rum. Go to clearrum.com/shop. Put in the code NASTY2023, and you will receive 35% off of your order. PA residents only. Let's get it.
All right. Let's get it in you, Nast.
I will.
Starting us off here, we got Notorious P.I.G.
Oh.
He wants to know, Riley, do you think you will be out there at 80 years old like Joe Watson?
I'm going to go ahead and say yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I definitely believe it. I have to say as well, you know, I had to leave the game a little early. I had dinner with our buddy Jimmy Montgomery. But I kept getting texts. Riggs is flying.
Hmm.
And my dad even said, he's like, Riley's flying out here. He goes, he's got to get a point, though. I need him to get a goal or something. Yeah. I'm like, I think he's okay. I said, did he tilly yet? He goes, no.
No tillies.
Did Rocky Secord want a little?
No.
Dude, he's still big, man.
He's big. Yeah, he looks good, man.
I saw him take a clapper in the morning skate there. I was like, oh, my goodness. Obviously, he's on the ice a little bit. It's doing something, probably playing alumni stuff. But
yeah, no, he looks good.
Anyway, you were flying, so I gotta imagine it at 80 in about, 15 years?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
You'll be buzzing out there like Joe was tonight.
Yeah, no, I think so. If I, continue to feel as good as I do now.
I mean, I
still
bet you
about
will.
39 years away, but you know, a lot of men's league until then.
Man, I feel old if you're that far away,
but
probably a lot closer.
I felt good. I don't see why not. And there's a little clip of me walking around Ray Bourque, but
oh, not
who
a big
was
deal.
Track of that?
No, who was watching? Who was counting that though? Debo was. Oh, Bourque.
Great question. Yeah,
he didn't slash it.
See me out there, 80 years old.
Yeah, I hope so, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken Pig Hog over on Twitter. Jeez. How do you like the new Stadium Series jerseys?
I like them. They're kind of like a mishmash of a few different eras, no?
I don't mind them. It's just like you're almost running out of ideas.
Yeah, I know.
Now.
Well, that's it, right?
It's great that the Flyers are getting picked for these games, obviously, because it's a great organization and people do watch the Flyers, no matter what, usually. I don't mind the jerseys. I thought they were okay. And like I said,
they're nothing like extraordinary.
You're not gonna change the logo. We know that. So it's never going to be anything
right.
but the logo. So you just have to work around it. And I feel like they did a decent job. For me, since it's this one-off or maybe they'll wear it one other game, I think they could have like changed the gloves.
Mm.
You know, maybe a shell too or pants or whatever, but it is what it is. I think they're okay.
Cooperalls?
No.
No?
Because you can't.
Why?
Because no one wears girdles anymore. You're the only guy left. Actually, I think a couple guys do, but that's the only reason, because they'd just be too big, right? Like, a little awkward.
Yeah, a little awkward.
I mean, if you made them paper thin and so light where the guys could tape, put everything on it and put them on, but don't you think it'd look a little bulky?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it'd be a nice little curveball.
They did it a couple of years. The year before they were rocking them in warmies. Yeah, but not bad. I don't mind them.
Yeah, me too.
Our buddy Chris Mayer wanted all orange.
All
everything.
Orange.
Helmet, gloves, skates, everything.
Black Flyers logo?
Yeah, Black Flyers logo, that's it.
No orange dot.
Orange dot.
All right.
Yeah, orange dot.
All right.
One final one. Construction Kurt over on Instagram. Which Flyers players do you see being dealt at the trade deadline?
Man.
It's a tough question because I'm not sure up until these last five games I would have thought of any, honestly.
I mean, we've kind of touched on this before. That's a great question. I mean, I guess you give it a little bit more time here since we dropped five straight. But they are rebuilding is the idea here. I would kind of imagine maybe there's a team like Risto has. I mean, his hit's pretty high, but like he's a guy if he wants to get back to playing more of a physical game like he kind of used to. And then you know, a guy I don't want to see go just because I love his game is Nick Seeler.
Yeah.
But, you know, you hear his name a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting a bargain with a guy like that. You know, and even Sean Walker, who's played really well, I've heard his name a little bit. I don't know.
What do you think about a guy like Lotz? I know his name was thrown around there last year. I mean, I love Lotz.
We love Lotz.
He's obviously a huge part of the team. I'm just thinking, like, some depth for teams.
Some teams would love to have him. But do you – I think he's got some pretty good years left.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I agree.
Great legs. I mean, do you want to get rid of – he's one of your leaders? I don't know, man. That's why it's such a great question, interesting question, because I guess maybe it just depends what you get back.
Well, that's,
you know,
I think
what you're trying to do. You're trying to get assets, right? And
I think that's always the question, right? It's like anything, everyone's for sale if the price is right.
The thing that scares me about all these things that always has in hockey is when you're just getting picks, because you could get extremely lucky, or you could, you know, have some bad luck go, you know, the other way. But I understand it's the way the game, the way the business is done. But
I mean, if you're making a deal strictly for the rebuild purpose, you're going to get picks.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get a body in return, it's going to be a remainder of the season, probably of another year or something like that.
Right.
But it all depends on what's going on through their head. If they think that, you know, they're going to give an honest stab at obviously the playoffs.
Right.
And then just rolling with the season the way it is. It all depends on what's going on in these conversations, because you could go either way with it. You
really could. Yeah.
But I just can't imagine dismantling to blow up this season, which, you know, you can do both. I think if you make a trade, it could serve you in the present moment and serve you in the future too. But I mean, those trades aren't that easy.
And no, I know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, they're already looking into everything, probably every scenario.
Yeah.
Or if we're in, if we're not,
well, that's
in,
it, right?
Or you're right on the bubble there, which, you know, it's crazy. It kind of reminds me of the year we won 10 in a row, you know, versus the year we lost 10 in a row. We got in the playoffs when we lost 10, and now they've gone 5 and then back the other way 5. So it'll be interesting. I guess you got to give it a couple more weeks.
I think so.
See, you know, like after this break, after this All-Star break, and see where they go from there.
Yeah. Great question, though.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
You could bang that one around all day.
I know.
Not come up so with a decent answer either.
Yeah, it's not a great answer, but it's – I guess that's what Danny and Jonesy and those guys feel that is really going to help the team in the next couple of years, you know?
Because
that's what they're really shooting for, although this is a bonus if we do get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So we'll see, but great question.
Mm-hmm. That's a wrap here, Nast.
That's it?
That's it. 145?
I feel like we haven't been here very long.
Well, been here a while.
145. Debo, nuts. Can't believe you still did that last night. Anyway, yeah, 145, buddy, in the books.
Can you believe it?
It's crazy. Like you.
Just like me.
Like that beard.
You like it?
No.
No.
Don't.
Well, it's going to grow a little longer for you.
Cut.
Growing it just a little longer for you, Nas.
You and Burnsy.
Burnsy. That's a wrap. 145 in the books. Until next week for 146. Be sure to check us out on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, subscribe. Until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
Yep.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.